All right. Good morning. That a little loud? Have I got an echo? I may have to sing. I don't know. What we got? Too many highs. Come in here 20 minutes late complaining. Telling you the truth. What do we got? Tell them. Donnie? Too many highs. Better now. Can we hear at the back? All right. Doing fine. That's good. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are bearers of children. Congratulations to you. That's the hardest job in the world. I always said if it sure is. Yes, sir. Yeah. If men had children, there'd have been no Cain. I understand that. That'd have been the end of that. We don't mind going to war, but we ain't having no babies. Yeah. All right. What a beautiful day we've been given, and we got some things to do. Let's see. Happy Mother's Day. We got that down. One longtime friend giving a good report from cancer. Bob McGinnis got his report back, and everything is fine, and we're glad of that. I'm glad of that. Bill Wingate still isn't doing well. I went up and visited with him, and it doesn't look well, but we're going to pray and keep praying. See if the Lord will heal him from that. H. Lee, who lets us use the place here, asked that we pray for his mother. She's in the hospital in Charlotte and not doing well, so you remember to pray for her, as I will. I've been asked to pray for the bikers. Sandy said, would we pray for the bikers coming down, and we will do that. And it's Bikers Weekend coming up, and there'll be a lot of people not watching for them. You be one who does. Be careful, my wife said. Have road patience, not road rage. This comes from somebody that blew the horn at a little old lady this morning. Said, little old broad, get out the way, we going to church. That's not the attitude we're trying to put on. All right, Bible study tomorrow night at 7:30 at your house. 7 o'clock. When would you have us? When do we generally have it? 7 o'clock. We'll be there at 7. Thank you. Clean up. Got to rake the rug and everything. We'll be in there at 7 o'clock. Water Dog's not here. He said he's working on getting us a room to have Bible study at one of these places around here. And that will relieve you, and that will allow Larry and Shirley to come. Shirley is allergic to cats, and I think she's allergic to Donnie. I don't think it's to cats. He'll get a haircut, we can hold Bible study. Golly. All right. Now we did see something good yesterday that I must report. By the way, it's H. Lee's birthday today, so be sure to tell him. And he's running around here somewhere. Is he back over here? Are you here? There he is. Good. Raise your hand so they can see you. All right. Now, I got to see one of those once-in-a-lifetime things yesterday. I was so glad I showed up here. H. Lee's back here with Fred Collins. And H. Lee leases this. Fred owns it all. And a little guy's over here playing that little basketball machine. Basketball's about that big. And he's throwing them in and throwing them in. And I'm watching him. And he didn't have a one quarter, and it was gone real quick. So he found out he mashed the ball and pulled it under the thing that holds him back. Right. So he don't know who's looking at him. And it's Fred and H. Lee are looking. Of all people to cheat out of a quarter, this kid is going to cheat H. Lee and Fred Collins while they're watching in the same area out of a quarter. So we noticing it and looking, and then he gets ready to go. He mashes his favorite one down, takes it, and is leaving with it. You'd have thought he was a rookie halfback in the NFL. They converged on that kid. They hit him over there about the video machine. He will never play football. I'm going to tell you that. But it was wonderful to see. I said, I wouldn't have missed that for anything in the world. That was grand. Now, let's see. Here we go. We got the envelopes, by the way, for the children, the pink ones and the ones for Benjamin. Get you some after the service, those of you who don't know. Pick you up 3 or 4, put them in your home, and send them $1 or $2 during the week. We help these. One of these little pictures are up here. Little Ben's not with us today. That's Paul's son. He has leukemia, and we need to help them as much as we can. And the other little kid doesn't have any arms or legs, and his brother has bad liver, bad eyesight. He's got bad everything. He's got a good shirt. I mean, he's got bad everything. Bless his little heart. He's the one who wants to be a preacher. Love him. We'll get him down here this summer. And somebody said, you bring them down, I'll pay the expenses. Somebody said, I got a place on the beach they can stay. So we're going to have them down real soon, and that'll be good. But now, you're going to be happy, aren't you, Ann? Ann found a sculpture. And excuse me? You not at home? Huh? Don't open. I got to tell about it.
Wait till you get home.
Huh? Let him open it. I'm telling you. Where's Melvin? Don't ever marry a white woman. Okay. All right, so we got to do it the other way. As you know, if you miss 4 Sundays, we put your name on the wall over here. Charlotte Daniels and several others up there. Daniels has missed 6 in a row. 6 Sundays. 6 Sundays. So we have to call that to everybody's attention. You got to know Charlie and I go back a long way. Then in 54, I used to live, when I was a kid, I lived in a trailer 8 feet wide by 28 feet long. Been there, done that. What color was yours? Surely, what color was the other one? Surely there wasn't but 2. My goal always was to buy a car longer than my home. I finally did that. 1969, bought a Cadillac Eldorado. Yes, it's just rode through the same neighborhood, blowing the horn and all. At any rate, Charlie and them were merciful in the 50s. They were merciless, especially if you're talking to a pretty girl. They want to come up and tell them all what you had done wrong and what you didn't have. He still does that. I notice we'll be up at Ducks or somewhere, and if I'm talking to a girl and she's not that attractive, it's hello, how are you? I'm sure you know Beaver. And if she's good looking, he'll do it every time. Hello, sure you know Beaver. He's our preacher. He comes down just in case. Just in case. Just in case. Mm-mm. So Charlie used to just ridicule me about being trailer trash all the time. Hurt my feelings. If I'd have had another friend, I'd have let him go right then. But there he was. So we had to get Charlie the Spam Sucking Trailer Trash Award because he bought a double wide, moved down here. Proudly presented to Charlie Daniels this Sunday by Beaver Greenway, Reverend the Shag, Church of the Lost and Found. OD, thanks for the memories. This is yours, but come in with that. Get on up here. Just get on. But did you notice H. Lee had a big SOS, bought 6 boards, dressed the place up. Right, there's that award. Now this one. This is a sculpture that Ann found. Local artist Scott Freeman Wait a minute now. I said, is he a French artist? She said, well, he thinks he's a French fry. And he makes these things. He smokes little narrow cigarettes. That And what it is, yeah, what I called him one day and said, well, what is that, Scott? And we had to buy it. He said, the title is The Road to Hell is Paved with Good Intentions. Six times. Fire extinguisher, roasting rack, and there's the road. There he is. That's right. Ooh. Wonderful thing. Ann found it. All right. Now it's good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. We are glad everybody doesn't have a seat. We're really glad. We used up all the seats and the benches. Mike Perry bought us some chairs and bought us the sign outside. Domer gave us some chairs. So we're looking pretty good. That's all right. You keep coming, you keep bringing people. And this morning, after Mother's Day, we're glad you're here. Be sure to shake H. Lee's hand. Tell him happy birthday. He lets us use this place without charge, which is a very, very nice thing for him to do. He doesn't have to. So this morning, if you brought your Bible, we're going to talk about revival at the beach. The revival at the beach. This isn't the first time this has been done. First time it's been done here. I didn't know Jesus did it, but I'm going to show you that he did this morning. Right in the Bible all the time. So we'll pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful, beautiful day and a day we celebrate of the mothers of the world who have had children and born them and cared for them and would do everything and give their lives for them if they had to. And I pray everyone here who has a mother who is alive has contacted them by phone or card, or some of our people have gone to see their mother. I wish I could. And we thank you for their care and their upbringing and their teaching of us, for we learn the hard things of the world from our fathers and the soft things from our mothers. And it certainly takes both, and I'm glad that I had the best one, contrary to what some other people here will think. And we thank you so much for your care for us. Be with us this morning. Be with H. Lee's mother in Charlotte at the hospital. Lord, you know her illness. You know the care that she needs. And we just ask that you be with her and your presence be felt her and you relieve her stress and anxiety and guide the doctor's hands and their intelligence as they take care of her. As we pray for other people here who are ill and have diseases they don't let known. The little children that we help support, ask that you be with them. That your sovereign will be done in each case. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray that you be with me, that you use me as much as I can be used, that you will take away anything I say that should not be remembered and keep everything here that should be, that some hearts can be touched this morning. If there be one who doesn't know you as Savior, may he know before the day is out. If there's one who needs uplifting in spirit, may that be done. If there's one who came without a friend, let them know you're the greatest in the world, and there's a couple hundred of us will be glad to join in. Just thank you for your goodness and your love. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. The revival at the beach is found in Mark 2, 1 through 12. We brought a Bible. H. Lee put up some Bible stands here, I know. That's good. Didn't know he thought about us, but he did. We're glad to have that. And it reads, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was reported that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, who was borne by four. And when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven thee? Or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So here we find a revival at the beach. Capernaum, you see, is a beach town, much like Ocean Drive. I always liked that when I found that out. When Jesus got stressed or worried by the crowds or bothered by the people, he always headed straight for Capernaum. Always headed for the beach, always headed for the seaside. I said, all right, we're gonna enjoy that. So he went to the beach to hold a little revival. He had been healing the sick and the leper over here. If you read back a couple of pages, and the leper was healed, and Peter's mother-in-law was raised from the dead, and he had been busy, and now his fame was spreading, and the hordes of people were following him. And like anyone else, he was fully God and fully man, but in his man, he would get tired, just like me and you. And they were pressing upon him, and he was doing all his work, and he went up to the mountains before this, and then he slipped down after a few days, it said, and went to the beach. He went up near the Sea of Galilee. It's the Lake of Galilee, really, but we call it the Sea of Galilee. And he began to hold some services in a house. And he began teaching in verse 2. It said, and straightway many were gathered there. Well, who went? Who's going to go to revival at the beach? That's not where you come to go to a revival, is it? That's not where you come to go to church, is it? People lay down all that when they come into Myrtle Beach and Ocean Drive, and they forget that and do away with what they were taught as children and as young men and even as adults, and it's time for them to go crazy, and a lot of them do. No place to come for a revival. I don't know anybody who would hold a revival than him and me. And so the hearers were present. Evidently, there's somebody somewhere who needs to hear. So the hearers found him. It said when they found out he was in the house, and MR, you thought that was new, didn't you? So-and-so's in the house. You didn't bring that from New York. It's right here. That he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. And the word got around. Jesus in the house. Let's go over and see what's happening. So they went to hear him preach and said he preached the word to them. And if you read through this quickly, you say, well, he preached the word to them. That's fine. What else would you preach? But wait a minute. The word hadn't been written yet. Well, no Bible. He preached the word. Well, then what word did he preach? He was the word. So here we have one of the most joyous revivals. And one of the greatest I would have loved to attend. For here we have the living word of God preaching the written word of God before it's written. One of the few times in history that could have ever been done. And some of the few people who had the opportunity to hear that done. Now just think about that. The word of God preaching the word of God. And they were sitting there listening. So the hearers gathered, and what did he preach? Well, he preached the word of God, and he is named the word of God in Revelation. And then I went through this morning with my little electronic thing and found out the word of God is mentioned in 41 books of the Bible. Must be important. And so the word of God is the words that he taught. What did he teach them? He taught them of eternal life. He taught them that he was the Messiah they had been looking for. Most of them were Jewish who came to hear him. He proved to him that he was the one the prophets had been looking for, because he raised the dead and made the blind to see, and he was getting ready to do something else that proved without a shadow of a doubt he was deity. And I don't know how long they sat. I just know that the house was full. And it said they were out on the porch and they were looking in the windows. There was no room to receive them. And I like that. Bob took some pictures last week of the crowd we had in here, and they were all out in the sand. He took it from outside. And people everywhere, I'm going to send my brother a copy. I said, look here what God's done. Had four people 2 years ago. Right back here. Four people. And Water Dog was five. He had to come. He was working. And now look here. They said, what brings those people? Well, it certainly isn't me. What brings you is you hear something here that you don't hear anywhere else. And I know that, and you know that. My wife was fishing, and we'll miss her. She's to see her on Sundays, but we'll miss her. It's fishing season. And she was fishing this week. And talking to a fellow who was a Lutheran preacher, maybe here this morning, she invited him because he had quit his church. He said, that's it. It's over. I'm tired of talking about what color rug and what size lights and how big the bathroom ought to be and budget and committee and who. And I said, I'm through with it. Took off his robe and said, bye. I mean, not the people who went. He did it. And I know why, and it wasn't his fault. You see, the churches have got to the point, and the Bible said it was going to happen. There'll be a famine in the land, not the famine of bread and food and water, but a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You see, most preachers, 70%, don't believe this is God's Word anymore. 70%. And if they don't believe it, then they're not going to preach it. They're going to give you a 3 points and a poem and a do right and act good and come back next Sunday. And that gets old real quick. But those few who will preach the Word of God will find, just as Jesus did, people will come hear it. And they don't even know why in a lot of cases. They just say, I'm hearing something down there that I need to hear. Learning something down there I hadn't heard before. Now, it's not me, and don't take credit for it. I walked by here yesterday. First time I'd seen a little railing. Two guys were on this side. They may be here. We invited them, of course. And I heard one talking to the other. Said, you know they hold church here on Sunday? And the other one said, they do. He said, they hold it. He said, well, I wonder where. And I was right at him. And I said, right here. He said, really? I said, oh, yeah, they hold church. They got the best preacher in the world. He said, you wouldn't have to be him, would you? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we invited them to come, see? And we had a little discussion. But the people who come to hear the Word of God, once you start preaching it, God sends them. See, in your mind, in your heart, we don't talk about these things because they didn't politically correct and sociably right. But everybody's got a God-sized hole in their heart, and nothing will fill it but God. And you got one, and everybody else has got one, but nobody wants to talk about it. It's like the king with no clothes. You remember that nursery story when you were a little fella? The king had some clothes tailored, and the tailor didn't have no cloth, so he played like he made him some clothes and showed nothing. He said, isn't that beautiful? And the king didn't want to play like he was foolish. And he said, yeah, that's beautiful. Try them on. That fool got naked and tried them on. He said, boy, you looking good. Walk around, let the people see you. Went right down Main Street and saying, hey, like my new clothes. And everybody said, boy, that's wonderful. They're good looking, king. He'll kill you if you don't like them. But one little kid, I know he was a little brother, Melvin. He come to him and said, hey, like my new clothes. And the little kid said, what clothes? He said, my new robes. He said, you naked fool. He said, no, I got new clothes. I paid for this. He said, look, you are naked. You're making a fool of yourself. get and look in a mirror. You ain't got nothing on. He said, no, I'm the king. He said, okay, who you are? You're naked. Little kid told it like it was, see? And the God-sized heart in your heart has to be filled with something, and this is the only thing that'll fill it. Only thing that'll fill it. And somebody has to come along and be willing to put this out so you can fill it. And that's what I do. And so I don't know, down here, you're going to preach down there, they're going to laugh at you. Well, go ahead. You're going to be ridiculed, help yourself. I won't be attacked, take another look. And so we came with that saying, well, what are people going to say? Sure enough, who's going to come hear somebody preach down here? That's got to be the dumbest thing you've tried to do in a long list of dumb things I've tried to do. And came on. All of a sudden it was 8. I remember the morning we were real happy. We had 2 rows of 4. We were so happy we'd filled the second row. And then there were 20, and then there were, and then there, and then there. And look at yourself. And why did you come? Because I'm so beautiful? Sure you did. You came this morning because you said, that hole in my heart is beginning to get filled. Something's in there that wasn't there. And every now and then we fill one all the way up, and he comes over to our side. And you sit there long enough, and the light will come on for you, and the heart will fill up for you, and it'll be the best day of your life, because it'll be the first day of your eternal life. All you have to do is sit there and listen, and we'll fill it up. So this is what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to the beach. We'll get in the house and start preaching, see who shows up. Now, who showed up? The hearers showed up. Verse 3 said the helpless were present. The helpless showed up. They came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy who was born by 4. It means he's been brought before people. Here's a guy with the palsy and he can't walk and he can't get around and he can't care for himself. But he's got 4 friends who have heard about Jesus. And they said, this man has made the blind to see, the crippled to walk, the dead to rise, and it isn't once, and it isn't twice, and it isn't gossip, and it isn't Benny Hinn. It is Jesus, and he's really doing it. They're still seeing and walking next week. And so they're saying, Bob, we got to get you over there. He said, I can't go. I can't go anywhere. I can't walk. He said, get on the blanket. And 4 of his friends carried the blanket, him in the middle, and walked to where Jesus was to put their friend in front of him and have him healed. Boy, isn't it good to have four friends like that. 4 friends that care enough. I used to hear my daddy preach on a little boy, and he'd say, you'll find yourself fortunate in life if you have this many good friends that you can count on. This many. And I said, well, no, I got a playground full. The older I got, the more fell away. And then that time comes that you've had in your life at where that dark hole is and you in the middle of it. And I was looking for 2. You've been there. You've done that. And he was down to 4. But his 4 friends were determined and they said, come on. We're going to get you there. You're helpless. And as in his helplessness, he still found hope that Jesus could do something. And regardless of your situation today, if you are helpless and present here, things have gone wrong and the wife is gone or the husband's gone or the business is down, whatever the helplessness is, and you can see no daylight, put yourself in this man's place. He can't work. He can't help himself. He has the palsy. He's physically helpless, but he found hope in Christ. That's the first step. He found the helper. So he said, let's go. Get me over there. You see, you and I fall in the same category as him. You just can't see our palsy. We're spiritually sick. Spiritually helpless. Can't help yourself. Seek out the Eastern religions. Seek out the gurus. Seek out the Indians who come with 747s and a message from India. Chinese religion. Chinese had any sense, they'd learn how to use a fork, but now. And we're sitting here spiritually helpless. Nobody to turn to. Because we turn to people who are sinners themselves. That's why any man of any church tells you he can forgive sins, grab your pocketbook and the rest of your stuff, and run. He can forgive nothing. He can't forgive himself. How's he going to forgive you? Only Jesus forgives sins. So here is this man, physically hurt and spiritually helpless. He said, I'll go. Verse 4 says the helpers were present. The four friends said, we're going to help him regardless. He needs help. We love him. We don't care what the cost is. We are going to take him to that man called Jesus. We don't care if the neighbors laugh. We don't care what the folks down at the social hall thinks. We don't care what our friends think. We don't care what the Pharisees think. We don't care what the Roman soldiers think. We are carrying our friend because this is his last hope. And they took him and walked with him, however many miles or blocks or whatever it was, they took him. And they got there and couldn't get in. How many would have given up? Well, place is full, and they're standing around on the porch, and they're looking in the windows, and we'll never get in there. And Bob, we're just going to have to take you back home. We'll catch him. He'll be around. We'll come some other time. No. When it's time to go to Jesus, it's time to go to Jesus. And when he passes by you this morning or any other morning, and you feel a pull on your heart that says, I need to do something, that's him passing by, a friend, and it's time to go. Because he will pass on by and keep on going if you're not careful. And these friends weren't going to have that. They were determined that this man would be put in front of the one who could help them. And they climbed up on the roof of that house, determined where Jesus was sitting, and started tearing the roof out. Didn't have to worry about the lawsuit. Didn't have to worry about the homeowner. Didn't worry about getting straw and whatever else fell on people. Didn't care. Didn't care who got mad, what was politically correct, or who liked it or who didn't. Their friend was hurting and they were taking him to the helper. You bring some people down here like that. Regardless of how much they protest, throw them in the car, bind them if necessary, and get them under the preaching of the Word of God. It's the best thing you can ever do for one. And they dug a hole in that roof, evidently found some cord somewhere, put it on the four edges, and lowered this dude right in front of where Jesus was sitting. I mean, just out of the sky, here he came. Don't you know that was a sight? What's this? What's going on? And all of a sudden, here he comes. And they yelling through the hole, Jesus, it's Bob. He got the palsy. We brought him over here. Want him to see you. We had to bring him. I can see Jesus smiling now. Saying, yeah, them that had to sleep late couldn't get here. Yeah, I know you at Ducks last night. It was too hard to get here. Tell me about it. Four people brought the 150-pound man in a blanket. Several miles, climbed a roof, tore the roof off, and lowered him. Yeah, tell me about them excuses. It's good to see you, boys. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Just grinning. I can see him now. Put him down in front of him. They found the helper. They'd broken it up, let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy lay. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, He looked past their work. The work was bringing him. The work was digging a hole in the roof. The work was lowering him down. And he appreciated the work, but what Jesus saw was their faith. What great faith these four have that they'd bring their friend like this in that condition and tear up a house they're going to have to pay for to lower him in front of me to get their friend help, believing I can help him. What great faith they have. And what a compliment to those four fellows that the Son of God looked up and said, there's faith. That's faith I'm talking about. And he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. He didn't come to have his sins forgiven. Nobody mentioned sins. They wanted physical healing. They brought him to get physically healed. They thought that was the big problem. Jesus looked past the little problem and went to the big one. You see, if you have palsy now, like one of my dearest friends in the world sitting in this audience has, doesn't appreciate having to stumble a little when she walks and doesn't appreciate not being able to do some of the things you can do, and it's highly inconvenient, but that's not the real problem. The real problem is if you die without Jesus, you and your palsy both get to go to hell. Therein is the problem. And if you just gonna get one of those solved, guess which one you ought to opt for? Palsy's for now. Hell's forever. Pick one. So Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. You went by the little problem. Little to him, he can get rid of the palsy like that and solve the big one. Said, your sins are forgiven. What a day for him, huh? But who else was there? Here are the hinderers. They're always at the revival, are they not? He's too fat to preach. Why, he's too loud. Why, I know this about him. Why, I wouldn't go down there. I know they're always the hinderers. They're always there. And the scribes were there. Now, instead of being there and saying, how wonderful, this man has forgiven his sins. This man has gone to the deeper problem. This evidently is someone beyond above what we thought he was. This is no magician. This is no doctor. This is no voodoo man. This man has looked at him and forgiven his sins. We need to find out more about this. Instead of that, they cuss Jesus. Well, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And I can see him smile again and say, right, I was hoping you'd say that. And then he says, which is it easier to say, buddy, your sins are forgiven, or your palsy as well? Take up your bed and walk. Which is easiest? And they discussing the question, you know, is that your final answer? And then, you know, you want to call a helper? And trying to decide what to answer, because it's a pretty tough question. Because you see, only God can do either one of the two, and they knew it. These were the scribes. These were the religious people. They knew that only God could forgive his sins, and they knew only God could solve that palsy problem. Now, they can't prove that his sins are forgiven. They have to take that by faith, just like you do and just like I do. But they could prove if the palsy was gone, because the man would get up and walk. So they own pins and needles, because they've said, I mean, who is this? Thinks he can forgive sins. Ha ha. Clown coming down here bothering us with it. I knew we shouldn't have come. We should have gone to the ball game or something. Waste our time at a revival. And he looks at the man, said he says to the sick of palsy, but that you may know, son, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say unto you, arise and take up your bed and go on your way. And the man looked at Jesus and smiled. And the hand straightened out. And the reflexes were back. And the joints got all right. And he jumped up. Doesn't say this, but I'm no fool. Ran to Jesus and hugged him. He said, thank you. It's been years since I've been able to walk. Thank you. Now I can work. Now I can take care of my family. Now I can join in the other things. Thank you. But before I go, thank you greatly for forgiving my sin. You're the Messiah, aren't you? And I can see Jesus smiling and say, yeah, I'm him. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. He didn't stumble out of there, did he? And glorified God, saying, and underline that, because I have some good Christian people who are mixed up on this, and they'll say, God cannot get glory out of sickness. Would you like to read this? Insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw anything like this. And they glorified God because the man of the palsy was now running with his bed down the street, shouting praise God. The hallelujahs were there. Hallelujah means praise God. Hallelujah is praise. Jah, J-A-H, is Jehovah. Praise God. When you say hallelujah, praise God, you said the same thing. The hallelujahs were there. I know he was saying it running down the street. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm back where I ought to be. Somebody carried him there. We know four did. Jumping off the roof. All right. It was him. We brought him to the right place. He did get healed. He did have his sins forgiven. Let's do a backflip off the roof. But let's don't go home yet. Let's run in there and see if he'll forgive our sins. Doesn't say that. Bet you a fat man it happened. Would you have left without asking? Of course not. The converted were present. We never saw it on this fashion. Man, we've been to church a lot, but I never saw this before. I've been to services before, but I've never seen one in a bar. I've seen people shake hands and be scared to touch each other. You know, I went down there and people were hugging one another, didn't even know each other. You don't know the people that come here and leave and say, I've never seen such a loving group of people. Hear it all the time. Say, we all are different. Say, no, we're right. I'll be glad to show you over here where it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's in the Bible. You can go to churches, can't get a handshake. You'd think everybody had AIDS. Don't touch me. See? And to hug somebody, you got to be kidding. See? I have no trouble hugging anybody I love. I have no problem with that anywhere, anytime. Biggest problem you're going to have with me and Charlie Daniels in heaven is getting us off Jesus. You're going to be a long time doing that. Because if I ever get hold of him, I ain't turning loose. Charlie, we're here. We made it, son. We're in. Hold on before they find out it's us. Amen. There will be. See, we're going to hold on. You see, when you love somebody, then go ahead and love them. Don't hold back. Go ahead and love them. Bible said God is love. Said love ye one another. Ye shall know them by how they love one another. I know Baptists won't speak to each other at Hooters. I mean, if you love somebody, love them wherever they are. And you love them here. And you love them good. And there's people in this room hadn't had a hug all week. And they'll talk about me. Well, I see him hugging those women. Well, I'll hug the men too, but given a choice, I'll hug the women. Because sometimes their husbands forget to. And I'll hug the men. Because sometimes their wives forget to. And I hug the little children. Because somebody might forget to. Well, did you make that up? No, I read it somewhere. Where somebody loved the little children so much. And children don't go to people if they're hateful. Don't you? Have you ever noticed that? They'll pick it up in a minute. They do not follow somebody hateful. Okay. And they were all over Jesus. To the point them self-righteous disciples said, well, we got to get those kids out of here. What with the ice cream and all? And Jesus said, leave them alone, for such is the kingdom of God. If you don't accept what I'm saying as a little child does, you didn't accept it at all. You leave these kids alone. I'll talk to you when we get through. I remember Harold Seitler, one of my favorite preachers in the world, till he was 75, big old 350-pound man, that big, beautiful voice, ran an orphanage in Greenville along with his church and a Bible school and everything else. And the little children would come to him and give him a knee hug, you know, grab him by them knees right in the front of the church. And you go down there and move one out of the way. He will scold you in front of 700 people. Don't you touch that child. Leave him alone, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't you touch that child. That child's here trying to learn about Jesus. You leave him alone. To me, that child thinks I'm Jesus. I'm all he knows about Jesus. You leave him alone. I'm going to hug him and pat him and listen to his little story, although he don't even understand it. And I'm not. And he's going to slobber and he's going to spit on my suit. And some of them throw up. And I get ice cream up here along with my corsage over here. Just leave them alone. We love them. They're not interested in your dry cleaning bill. And that's what's good about this place down here. It's the only place. You know why we came back here for 40 years, Charlie, you know, and those of you who came back down here from 54 and 55, and we'd always come back long before they had SOS. I've driven by that building in a station wagon crying many a lonely night by myself, saying, boy, I wish I had those friends. Country club didn't work, and the business didn't work, and IBM wasn't it, and boy, I wish I had those friends. Where's Charlie? Where's Harry Driver? Where's Treadway? Give anything to watch Belt Stevens hit one more person with a loafer. Where are my friends? Where are the people I love? And that's the reason we come back down here. See? You love people in this room, but you don't know their name. There are people in this room I'd give my car keys to and say, bring it back next week, try to be careful, and have no idea who they are. Just, we love one another. And that's a good start. And you can gain the greatest love you ever had in your life. You go right here. Jesus said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care when. I don't care where. And I don't care any time, how many times. I open my arms and say, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And to make sure I don't back up on that, go ahead and nail them arms. And left them open that you could come and that I could come. I said, surely nobody loves me that much. Man held a revival at the beach, did. Boy, I'm glad he was there. And if this Mother's Day you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, what a good day to make His acquaintance. What a good day to not worry about your physical ailments, but go beyond that like this man did and say, man, I've got sin and I know it and I can't pay for it and work it out and I can't do anything. Do you mean He can really forgive my sin? Yes. Then I want Him to. And as we pray, you pray and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I did it but will, knew what I was doing. I ain't fooled anybody, especially you. But I want to start over. Wipe the slate clean. Wash me in your blood. Convert me. Come and live in me. Let your spirit live in my heart. And from this day forth, I'm going to do my best to find out more about you and follow you. But for today, just save me. I promise He will. He did then. He did when Charlie came along. He did when Beaver came along. And He will when you come along. If you think your mother loved you, she came nowhere near loving you like the Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be a good day to start loving Him back. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come along, meet in your name, and where two or three are gathered together, you've said you'd be there. I welcome your presence. I thank you that the Spirit of God is moving upon the people here today. There'll be some tugging on some hearts. May they understand that that's you passing by. May that tug that's on their heart be interpreted as, please come and follow me. Please let me do away with your sins. Please let me live with you eternity. Please let me have a place for you and a future for you that you can't even imagine. Please come go with me. And when you feel that tug, you just quietly say, Lord Jesus, I hear you. Jesus is in the house and wants me to go with Him. And I'm going to say yes. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the healings of some of our friends. Be with those others who are sick and ill. But Lord Jesus, most of all, be with those who don't know you as Savior, that the sun may not set one more day before they find someone who agreed to love them eternally, unhesitatingly, and love them just because they were them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And for His sake, amen.